Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes. Good Thursday, one and all. Taz and the Moose with you right here on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227.
Attention hotline fans.
Your number to call. Mike and Pete across the way. Bogus, your updates as we come to you live. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. What's up, Taz? What's up, man?
Moose, great. Feeling good. Hope you're feeling good. We're ready to have a great show for the next couple hours, 3 hours here, as you just laid out. So it's going to be great. We've got an excellent guest coming on later on. NFL Business Insider Andrew Brandt will be here. So it's going to be great talking to him, talk a little football. We got a lot of football in this episode, my man.
A lot of football, right. Nice. We'll go through AFC, nice. NFC, and Super Bowl predictions a little bit later on in the program as well. You mentioned Andrew Brandt will join us. We get it going. It's opening night in the National Football League as you have the Bears and the Packers. Great rivalry doing battle later on this evening. And, football is finally upon us.
I know. I'm fired up. I mean, I'm so excited. I want to do the Bears-Packers prediction right now, but we're not going to do that. That would be ridiculous at the top of the show. That's just bad. So we have a plethora to get into here, a lot of storylines to talk about. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to, like you just laid out, that we're going to do our NFL predictions for, the conferences and the wild cards and who's going to win the NFC Championship, AFC Championship, the Super Bowl. I don't want to say a shocker, but I have one that's going to maybe my thoughts in the AFC, it might floor you a little bit. So.
All right, nice.
Yeah, a little tease for you, Moose.
There you go. Yeah. So we'll get into that a little bit later on. That's coming your way top of the second hour. But the NFL is obviously clearly back with the opener tonight between the Bears and the Packers. And, the intriguing storylines going into this, the course of the NFL season, you can really go to each and every NFL city. Let's begin with the fallout, or I would say, the fallout in Dallas with the Jerry Jones, Jason Garrett, Ezekiel Elliott meeting with the media after Elliott signing that six-year, $90 million contract extension with $50 million of that being guaranteed. And the interesting thing to that was this, which I found fascinating. If you follow Mike Tannenbaum on Twitter, who, former Jet and Dolphin executive, you see him on ESPN as well right now, looking at Ezekiel Elliott's contract. And even though he doesn't have all of the direct language, just the way that the contract was written. So we talk about the number of $50 million being guaranteed, mm-hmm. right? At signing, here's the significant difference. At signing, Todd Gurley got $21 million. At signing, Ezekiel Elliott got just a tad over $7 million. And there is a stipulation. We talked about the fact of the behavior of Ezekiel Elliott, right? Mm. Away from the football field. And Jerry Jones saying, well, we're not concerned. Well, when they wrote the contract, they were a little bit concerned because the language in the contract of Ezekiel Elliott should be suspended at all, once again, by the National Football League. The only guarantee is the $7 million.
That's tremendous. Yeah, that's
so that's Jerry Jones came out and basically said, oh, we're not concerned about anything. We're not concerned. That doesn't bother us whatsoever. Well, nonsense, because when they wrote the contract, they did not give him that whole signing bonus or a majority of that signing bonus. $40-plus million is contingent on him not getting suspended or getting in trouble away from the football field and getting suspended once again by the National Football League.
Very interesting news right there. I'm glad you brought that up because I wonder now, Moose, I'd love to get your take on this. I wonder if that was a big chunk of the holdup, the guaranteed money and that stip they had in there. Usually guaranteed money is a holdup in most contracts, especially guys in the collision business, like a football player, especially a running back. But because the agent and the player wants to get as much money as they can guarantee because they could end in a snap of a finger their career. So But with this guy's character issues off the field, meaning Zeke Elliott, I wonder if they wanted, the Cowboys maybe wanted to give less than $7 million, and Zeke and his agent had a fight for this. I wonder if that was one of the bigger holdups. That's my point, you know?
Yeah, you know what? I don't know. It could have been. You know, it could have also been the total of the total value of the Taz of the signing bonus of the guaranteed money that he wanted over $45 million to surpass Todd Gurley. It could have been, you know, a number of different things. It could have been just the stipulation in general, in terms of them not wanting that to be there and that having to be there. Yeah. But it's interesting when we talk about what's put out there for public conjecture and conversation and for all of us to take in. Mm. And the Cowboys made it seem like they were A-OK. No, we've got no character concerns whatsoever with Ezekiel Elliott. Well, when it came down to business, and when it came down to brass tacks, there were concerns about Ezekiel Elliott's behavior away from the football field, and they protected themselves should he get in trouble with the National Football League once again, should there be any suspension by the National Football League once again for Ezekiel Elliott, then his money will be greatly affected. And we're not just talking about the fact of the game checks. We're talking about the signing bonus in terms of the guaranteed money that is believed to be coming his way. So I thought that was fascinating and a good breakdown by Tannenbaum last night on Twitter.
Yeah, I don't follow Tannenbaum on Twitter. Maybe I should, but I'm usually a snob with the Twitter. But I got to tell you that it's interesting. I was out here on the radio with you saying, we had a little light debate about it. I was like saying, no, you know, Jerry Jones, he doesn't care, but he said it himself. I heard him. He said it. We had a drop or whatever. He doesn't care about the character stuff. Well, yeah, I was wrong.
I'm not bringing it out for that reason.
No, I know you're not. It's just great information.
When you get into the language of certain deals and you're looking at the guaranteed money, and the other knock on the contract was, you know, for Elliott is that, you know, there's really only two, like, kind of guaranteed years. It's kind of a stipulation here where then it's kind of singular contracts where the Dallas Cowboys, Taz, aren't necessarily locked into Elliott. So, I mean, it's a six-year total if he plays well and plays up to expectations. I mean, it's an eight-year contract now, worth just short of $103 million. But there's some that look at the deal and say, well, there's no way Ezekiel Elliott's going to make the entire amount of that contract. But if he keeps his nose clean, if he doesn't get in trouble, if his behavior is A-OK away from the football field, if he's not, you know, if he's not acting like,
an immature kid.
Right. Or
unprofessional or a bad guy. Right.
Away from the football field at St. Patrick's Day parades, he's got nothing to worry about.
Right.
Or, you know, he's got nothing to worry about, Taz. The $50 million will be coming his way. But the Cowboys.
It's good inspiration.
Well,
keep you motivated, right?
Well, but I mean, that's it. I mean, it should.
Yeah,
I mean,
he should do the right thing anyway.
But if I've got $50 million that I know, you know what?
I'm a choir boy.
Right. I'm going home after. I'm making sure that I earn every single last penny that is coming my way. But the Cowboys did, in essence, protect themselves. But they're happy to have him back in the fold. And he was at practice yesterday. Here is Zeke talking with the media and talking about how important it was. You're going to hear the reporter first about being the highest paid running back in the NFL.
Was it important for you to be the highest paid running back in football?
It was.
Why?
Because I believe I'm the best.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Short, simple, and sweet. Right to the point.
Are you happy to be back?
Alrighty, watch that. Okay, fine. Take two. Go ahead, Moose.
Are you happy? Where are we going to do it? Disco.
No, that's a whole long story.
Are you happy to be back, Zeke? Take a listen.
I was definitely really anxious, you know, because I definitely wanted to be here for the start of the season. But I'm happy it got done when it did, and I'm glad I was able to rejoin my teammates and start the season with them. You know, there was just the ups and downs, and some days it seemed closer than others, and a lot of times I felt like we were getting close, and then kind of regressed. So I mean, it was just a lot of ups and downs.
And here is Jerry Jones, Taz. When you were on the airwaves yesterday, Jerry Jones was on CNBC during one of their financial shows. Here's Jerry Jones talking about the deal.
Zeke has been arguably our best player. I'm not trying to be unfair to anybody else, but he's an incremental part to our success. We're glad to get him booked in. We're glad to have him on the team. When you're talking about that kind of money, we're all overpaid, if you really wanted to look at it that way. For what he has done, how he's worked, how he's utilized his skills, then he's in the marketplace of where we are in pro sports and pro football.
No more Zeke who.
Right, no. Now he's an incremental part. I don't know if that's the right verb, but incremental part of the Cowboys' success. Talk about a guy that's happy that Elliott's back. Besides Jones, Steven, and Jerry, and the entire Jones family, and Zeke happy to get the contract. How about the Cowboys' head coach, which we talked about yesterday a little bit? Here is Jason Garrett on getting his tailback back.
Great to have him back. He was here this morning for the Breakfast Club meeting at 7:30 and went through the walkthrough and anticipating practicing today. So he's been a big part of our team, and we're excited to have him back in the fold. Zeke's been a big part of our team. He's so well respected by everybody in our organization. He's been a really important player for us. So it's great to get him back in here. I know they were working hard on it last night. I was in those conversations. And then, you know, this morning we woke up early and we found out the news and we got him in here. And he's had a good day so far.
He's so well respected that we had to put a stip in there in case he does something stupid off the field.
Well, okay. Right.
No, you know, it's
well,
just,
it is. I mean, it's smart. I mean, it is smart.
It is smart from
the Dallas Cowboys perspective because, you know, if that's what's going to keep him on the straight and narrow, Taz, and help him mature a little bit. And some guys mature, as we all know.
Oh, absolutely.
Some guys get in, some guys don't. Yeah. Even if they get paid, some guys still don't get it. Yep. So hopefully, for his sake, that Elliott does get it, and there's no more suspensions or infractions with the National Football League, which could affect the bottom line for him. Listen, it's important to have him back. There's no doubt about it. It's great that the contract is done.
Right, right.
It's great that we don't have to have any more pressers. We talked about it and ran through it yesterday, Taz. If you were, you know, if everyone out there in the listening audience was locked in, I mean, you know, clearly the Cowboys backtracked on it, but that's okay. They realized. I mean, they understand.
Yeah,
and Jerry Jones wants to win. I mean, honestly, he hasn't won. He's the one since Barry Switzer was the quarterback.
Right.
Was the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. He wants to win a Super Bowl. If you want to win a Super Bowl, you know, yeah, you're going to make sure that your best player's on the field.
Absolutely, and he's the NFL's leading rusher, and he's just a fun guy to watch play football. I mean, unless your team's playing against him as a fan, but he really is. I loved watching him play when he was in college with Ohio State. He's just a great player. He's just really fun to watch play the game. He's so talented, so dynamic, so explosive. He's got every intangible adjective you can imagine of positivity of his ability, Zeke Elliott. You know, and you know, hopefully through some of the things that happen, he does mature. And you're right. Some guys mature later. Some guys don't mature.
Right.
You know what happens. You're right.
Good
it's a good point. You know what I mean? It's like, and you know, even if you're, sometimes if you're making, you know, that kind of money, I could never fathom. I've never made that amount of money in my life. Never came close to making $50 million on a guarantee or anything like that. But that can definitely, I don't know, I'm not a psychoanalyst, but it definitely could, it could affect you maturing a little bit. Hopefully it doesn't become a heavy-duty case of entitlement where he's just totally over-the-top egotistical. Look, all these pro athletes have an ego. They all, they have to. That's a huge part of being successful as an elite athlete. You have to have some sort of an ego. It comes with it. It's part of the game.
Mm.
Hopefully, all this money and being paid as the top running back, which you should get paid that, okay? Hopefully, that does somehow he can keep grounded. Hopefully, the people around him can keep him a little grounded and keep a little humility and humble in his life. I hope. It's hard to be humble when you just got paid that kind of money, though.
No, you're right about that.
You know what I mean?
Especially crazy. especially in the you know, machismo world of the National Football League too. I mean, it's hard to, you know, stay with both feet on the ground and you know, remain humble and you know, when all of a sudden the world's your oyster. I mean, you're treated like a conquering hero when you're down in Dallas and when you go back to Columbus, Ohio and Ohio State and people are throwing themselves at you, literally, to just get a piece of you. I mean, that's difficult to do, but you know, he doesn't have to be, you know, a guy that's going to be, you know, entering the Franciscan order and becoming a monk. But what he needs to do, Taz, is he needs to stop acting like a douche. I mean, that's ultimately what he needs to do is that he's got to stop being this kind of, you know, bad boy party guy. Away from the football field, he was always a hard partier. That was the read on him coming out of Ohio State. But he was also a guy that worked hard and partied hard. That was the word on the street about Ezekiel Elliott, and it's continued when he's been a member of the Dallas Cowboys. He's just got to make sure that he's acting properly when he's going out and enjoying himself.
Yeah.
If he does that, And he's never, and when, if he does that, he'll be A-OK. He's got nothing to worry about.
Yeah, exactly. Who knows? As far as the partying thing, I mean, some guys, I personally was never like that, but some guys, that's their makeup. That's part of, it's going to sound weird, why they're really, like, unique and good players. And that could be, we've seen tons of good athletes like that, right?
No, and I'm not knocking them for doing that. Don't pull a woman's top down when you're at the St. Patrick's Day Parade.
Yeah, that's not a good
thing. I mean, just don't do that.
I totally agree with you.
You want to go have a good time? You want to drink some green beer and have some corned beef and drink and take an Uber home? I don't care. I mean, enjoy yourself, right?
I know, I totally agree.
And be in a VIP party, just don't act like, don't act like a moron.
That's a bad thing.
That's a bad thing to do.
So I would strongly assume that this kid learned from this. I would, because it was just so well documented publicly what happened and all that, and that so hopefully he fixes himself here, gets some maturity. If this guy gets his head right and he's a quiet boy off the field and he plays the way he normally plays, I mean, this guy could be one of the better running backs ever to play the game. Ever.
Oh, no doubt.
He's that talented.
No, he's that talented. He's that good. He runs with power. He's able to take a hit, Taz, and keep on going. He's clearly the most important player for the Dallas Cowboys. And, go ahead.
I want to just, because I'll forget, how about how great he is in the backfield blocking? He don't get enough credit for that.
No, he's a three-down running back.
Tremendous.
Right, and he's great in pass protection.
That's insane.
And so I guess you know, the other, besides the impact on Garrett and everything, I think, it's also important to know for, a position in which your earning potential is younger during your NFL career, when you're into those rookie contracts, like we mentioned a little bit yesterday, Taz, it's going to be a sign of things to come. And I think it's a case of, I think there's got to be other young NFL running backs out there that are certainly celebrating at the contract that Zeke Elliott got yesterday, because it might be a path for stuff that they do down the line. Whether you like it or not, whether it bothers you or not, I think it's going to be a sign of things to come, because they're earning potential for running backs. They're the best. They're great when they're young. They're not great at 28, 29, 30 years of age. They're great when they're in those initial rookie deals, and NFL teams have also figured that out. So, whenever they have leverage, Taz, whenever that might be in any particular situation, I'd not be surprised that this is a sign of what you're going to see, where that leverage is going to be used.
Yeah, and I think we touched on this yesterday. I'm pretty sure we did. It's not, and you know this, Moose, this is not going to be for every starting running back in the NFL. You look at Melvin Gordon. He's sitting home, and he's not going to get this kind of deal. It's not going to happen because he's not as good as Ezekiel Elliott.
No, he's not. But he's also maybe getting a little bit greedy. I mean, they offered him $10 million a year.
Right.
And it's like, that's not good enough because he wants 12 to 14. Well, not everybody, you're right. Not everyone's worth what Ezekiel Elliott's getting.
They're not. And I think Melvin Gordon's a hell of a running back. I love him. I think he really is. I think the Chargers need him, and they're going to be hurting a little bit without him, even though Eckler's good. But the thing is, he's not, like we're saying, he's not Zeke Elliott. I'm just saying, I think that a lot of these. Look, if you're the kid on the Giants, Barkley, your future is Zeke Elliott kind of money, or pass him. Because I think he's got the ability, Barkley, to be better than Zeke Elliott.
Alvin Kamara.
No.
I know that.
Come on.
I brought up another example.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Kamara will get paid. Christian McCaffrey with Carolina.
I forgot about those two guys. You're right.
Christian McCaffrey those two with guys Carolina. Those two guys are going to get paid.
I think Barkley, out of all of them, he's the best of all of them. In my opinion, he's going to be the best.
I don't disagree with
no
you.
No doubt. But those guys are going to get paid, to your
point.
Yeah,
The big key is going to be Kamara down in New Orleans, Taz, because he wasn't a first-round pick.
He wasn't, right? True.
McCaffrey was a first-round pick. Barkley went second overall.
Right.
Kamara was not. I believe Kamara was either a third-round selection coming out of Tennessee.
Yeah, I think you might be right about that.
By the New Orleans Saints. So Kamara's in that situation, Taz, where he's not making a significant amount of money based on the production that he's given you. And now, especially, it'll be fascinating to see down there in New Orleans now without Mark Ingram, who's now a member of the Baltimore Ravens, the kind of year that he has down there with the Saints. I mean, he could have a massive, monumental type of year, and that's going to be something that the Saints are going to have to address, because I think Alvin Kamara is probably looking at what Zeke Elliott got. And it was a good day in the Kamara household, realizing that if he stays healthy and productive, he's going to get numbers like that coming his way.
You're right, the third round on Kamara. But, yeah, and another good point for you, too, because, of course, with Ingram being out of there and being with the Ravens, it's not a two-back system anymore.
No.
It's a Kamara system.
Correct, yes.
He's getting more touches now, you know what
That's
I mean?
That's exactly so, right. So those are a couple of interesting storylines we'll run around the National Football League. We got picks later on.
Oh, man.
Taz has been working steadily, so have I.
You saw me, right?
Yeah, I did. It was color-coordinated. Looked over. He's got a spreadsheet. He's got different colors.
Plus, when I do it with you, it's like I'm in law, it's like I'm in law school. I got to make sure I got everything. It's like, come on, let's go. Let's get the NFC South. Come on, Taz. You know, I was like, well, you know, I got to have it. I'm not much of a stickler.
You make me sound like I'm a third grade teacher.
No, third grade. You're like a college professor at Yale. Like, you kidding me? It's like my final paper here. I got to make sure.
I was like, wow, bold colors. I was like, what? Taz, what are you working on over there?
I know.
My picks. All the shows
we've done together, you've never said that to me. What are you working on? Today you did. I've been working on things since 3 in the morning.
It's Taz. It's the Moose. It's a Thursday morning. CBS Sports Radio.
Got a favorite football team you want to talk about? College or pro, we want to hear from you on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah. Toll free line, 855-212-4227. It's brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes. You can save 15% or more on car insurance.
You know, Moose, you mentioned that Mike Tannenbaum earlier. And I was actually on an elevator with him a few weeks ago.
Nice.
Tall guy. Like, really tall. I was out in L.A. and he was... He was doing stuff in Los Angeles, the spot I was at. It was actually, we're at the same hotel. That's where it was.
Okay.
And he was, he was very tall. He was with some woman, looked like a PR person, and he blew me off. He didn't acknowledge me. Nothing.
Maybe he didn't know who, you know. Well, maybe it wasn't a wrestling guy.
I had a T-shirt on that was black and orange. It said Taz with a world championship photo on the back. I mean, I had the black towel on.
Of yourself? I
mean, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Then he should have recognized
Taz, it. T-A-Z, yeah.
Or he could have been like, who the hell is this guy wearing a T-shirt of a picture of himself on?
Why is he wearing a black towel over his head in an elevator?
Right. Who's that wrestler? A big fluorescent arrow pointing at him.
That's calling the cops.
Who carries one of those?
He probably texted the woman or the gentleman he was with. He's like, get me out of here.
This guy's crazy.
He said a security word.
Right.
He said nothing.
Bananas.
Right.
He said nothing. Exactly. Bananas. Yeah, and we're at this fancy hotel.
Flamingo.
And I'm like, look at this guy. And I'm looking at him. We're going down.
You should have said hello.
No, I don't. I don't put
Why not?
Him
He's a good guy. He's a nice guy.
I don't put nobody over, Moose. You know that. If I was in the elevator with you, I wouldn't say hello. I don't put anybody over. You know how I am. I won't give them credit. I won't. I'm too much of an egomaniac. I know. I can't introduce myself. If I was in an elevator, if I left here, and Billy Joel, who I think is a tremendous artist, if he was in here on the elevator, I wouldn't say, hey, Billy, I love your music. I'm Taz. I wouldn't do it.
You'd be like, I enjoy your work.
No, I don't do that. I expect people to come up to me and say that.
No, come on.
Wow, that's I've had that happen many times.
I'm sure you have. I'm not saying that, but if someone doesn't and there's somebody you would like to meet, you don't say hello or introduce. I don't know.
I told you the Lee Mazzilla story, bro.
That doesn't make sense.
I told you the Lee Mazzilla story. I'm scarred. Since I'm a kid, I'm scarred. Lee Mazzilla, I went up to get an autograph from Matt Shea, and I kind of got the cold shoulder. I was crying my eyes out. I was 17 years old.
Funny story.
I wasn't 17. No one got the joke.
But no, I got you. 6 weeks ago, I was on the Hutch, which is a road just north of New York City.
I know what it is.
And I'm at bit of a rest stop. And,
were you?
I was at a rest stop, went in there to go to the bathroom, turn around, I hear Moose. I turn around, it's Lee Mazzilla.
How about that? Lee Mazzilla!
Yeah.
He blew me off!
Yeah.
And I was a little kid. Wow, it's a true story. On the Hutch, Hudson River Park, you're hanging out in the rest stop.
I'm not hanging out in the rest stop. Went to the bathroom, and there was Lee Mazzilli there.
Sorry, my bad.
That's
no problem.
Yeah.
My bads are out the window. Right.
Yeah, well, you tell Lee that I didn't say hello. How about that?
Well,
is he a nice guy?
Or I'll tell him the joke tell him. Maybe it'll go over better with him.
Dude, he was one of my favorite Mets when I was young. I loved Mazzilli when I was a kid. I loved him. I was so crushed. In defense to him, I don't think he saw me. It was a million people, maybe not a million at Shea, but there was a lot of people there. And everybody, all these kids, including me, and I'm elbowing kids to try and get Lee Mazzilli's autograph. And that's the last time that I ever tried to get anyone's autograph, and that is the truth. Mm. I have no one's autograph. I don't care about autographs. I don't. I won't take. I think I'm scarred. Mizzou scarred me. That's what happened.
You probably did.
Yeah, I think so.
For the rest of your life.
I yeah, it's sad.
Okay.
I mean, it's simple. So that's it. So, oh, look who just walked in.
Bogus.
What were you guys talking about?
He's been sitting.
I know. All right. How you doing,
well,
there, Tez? How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for asking,
you look great,
Tez.
Man, you look great.
I appreciate that. As you and I have discussed more than once, Tez, it's good to see that things are finally going the Yankees' way.
Oh,
Aaron Judge appears to be Aaron Judge again.
Now the 1-2.
Oh, here we go.
Swung on, hit in the air to deep right. That ball is high. That is far. That is gone. A Judgian blast. Hey, it's a two-run home run to right center. All rise.
Here comes
the Judge.
John Sterling on.
Stop. Don't boo.
WFAN here in New York. Judge reaching the 20-homer plateau with his seventh long ball.
Here comes the Judge.
You love it, Moose.
In the last 2 weeks.
That's a great call.
Yeah, it's not a great call.
It is.
It's the same call he has every time a guy hits a home run. It's not a great call.
Stop.
What, the verbiage of the call?
Yes.
So you think, how long do you think it took him to write that?
Not
when he
long.
First came,
yeah, very exactly. Creative guy.
Yeah, so it's like,
I like it. I enjoy it. I find it enjoyable. It adds something to my life.
Well, congrats. I'm happy for you, dude. I mean, as a Met fan, it makes me sick. How about that?
Well, you've made that perfectly clear.
I
understand. Right, I got you.
Thanks very much.
I mean, if he was... If Sterling was a Mets commentator, play-by-play guy,
right,
he was doing that. I'd love
it. Yeah. Taz is bothered by Sterling, but he can't wait to hear how he goes. Put in the books!
Oh, it's the best.
All right. Oh, my God.
Every time it's different.
Yeah. Sterling.
It's different pace. Oh, it's, different inflection.
It's all different. Right. Yeah. Yes.
We're in the books, baby.
Yes. Yeah. Go ahead.
Where was
Let's
I?
Go.
Oh, yeah. 20
Yankee
homers
victory.
Now for Judge. His Yankees took their rubber game from the Rangers last night 4-1. They haven't lost a home series since mid-April. 18 wins and 3 splits. The Red Sox down the Twins last night 6-2. 2 homers and 5 RBI from Mookie Betts. Oakland shut out Anaheim 4-0 to stay even with Cleveland for the second AL wild card. Those Indians held off the White Sox earlier in the day, 8-6, and Royals history was made last night.
In comes the pitch to Soler, and he absolutely demolishes the ball. It hits off the Royals Hall of Fame building. That is home run number 40.
It is the first 40-homer season by a Royal ever. Denny Matthews called it on Royals Radio. KC beat Detroit 5-4. Over on NL grass, the Dodgers swept the Rockies 7-3 while setting the NL record with 250 homers for the season. The Giants rallied for a 9-8 win in St. Louis. The Cards lead on the idle Cubs atop the NL Central down to 2.5 games. And the Reds beat the Phillies 8-5. Cincinnati's Michael Lorenzen pitched 2 innings for the win, hit a 2-run homer, then finished the game in center field. He's the first player since Babe Ruth in 1921 to go deep, earn the win on the mound, and play the field all in the same game.
That's awesome.
That is crazy, man.
It is finally game day in the NFL. Ooh. Green Bay, Chicago kickoff is shortly after 7 Central. Now, most of the Bears starters were held out of the preseason, so Khalil Mack is raring to go.
Oh, man. I'm so ready to hit somebody other than my teammate, you know what I mean? Yeah, it's something we're looking forward to, and it's something I feel like it's going to make us a lot hungrier coming out there.
This is the 197th meeting between these two. The road team won last year's games.
I could interrupt for a second. Sorry.
Of course you can.
I have to say, Khalil Mack, that guy motivated, like where he's like a pressure cooker about to explode.
Yeah.
That's not the guy you want exploding.
No.
That guy is a bad man.
I'm also glad he sounds like Khalil Mack should sound. Like kind of like cool, almost too cool, a little badass. Well, ready to rough you up.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
What's his name in yesterday? DeMarcus was in here yesterday. Great guest.
He's in shape, huh?
He's in great shape. Yeah. The guy looks like he still could play. But his voice didn't match. It's almost like the Mike Tyson thing. His voice didn't match his body.
Right.
Look, DeMarcus could, like, tear your head off, you know? Yeah. And it's like he sounded like a soft-spoken, chill, mellow guy.
Yeah.
Where Khalil Mack, like, to your point, Andrew, sounds like he's just ready to tear your shoulders out and stuff them down your throat.
Yeah. So ready to hit somebody.
See, drill somebody.
He's ready to hit somebody.
Think he's drinking, like, cognac while he's having this conversation? Like,
no, he's just drinking beer, bro.
Yeah?
He's drinking straight, like, Rheingold.
I think he's more refined than that.
No, he's drinking Rheingold or Peel's. Yeah, old school. He's drinking like and not light beer. He's not a light beer guy.
Of course not.
He's drinking that out of the can, maybe a little Colt 45. Hardcore Jones. That guy's a badass dude, I'm telling you.
Hard-ass Jones.
I mean, yeah, I don't think there's anyone to disagree with you.
I'm just trying to sell it, Bruce. I'm trying to put the guy over.
I agree. He's motivated. Yes.
God, you could
insult. Sorry to bother you, Moose.
How about embracing something your partner says? How about embracing me? How about this is a beautiful adjective I'm giving for this great defensive player, Khalil Mack. Beautiful adjectives I'm giving. It's a little intense.
I laid out.
It's a little intense.
Let you go.
I know.
Cut the bunny rabbit loose.
I know. Oh, that's a new one. Okay.
Who ties up bunnies?
I don't know, but it's pretty crazy. That was a pretty crazy cliche.
Yes,
you
have a bunny?
Say it again?
No.
Cut the bunny rabbit?
Cut the rabbit loose?
We could go back in the pod and listen to it.
Oh, okay. We go back.
Right, wherever pods are available. On Jaguars QB Nick
Foles
dealing
Apple
with abdominal soreness, but expected to play on Sunday. The Jags didn't practice yesterday because of Hurricane Dorian, but get back on the field today. In non-Zeke news from Dallas, Cowboys wideout Amari Cooper put in a full practice yesterday, reported no pain in the foot he injured a month ago. And Rafael Nadal with a straight set defeat of Diego Schwartzman in the U.S. Open quarterfinals. The women's semis are on tap for tonight. Serena Williams takes on Elena Svitolina, then Bianca Andreescu and Belinda Bencic. Guys,
do you have to practice those names before you come on the air?
I would imagine. Go over them. That's tough.
Yeah, I go in the bathroom. I have a whole series of vocal exercises, and then I mix in the particular
like
things.
Like Harris Allen.
Something like that, yeah.
Very
Harris,
nice.
Harris practices in the men's room?
Gets his voice loose.
Really?
Yeah.
La 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 la. Something like that.
No. Like that. I forget what it was that he did on the overnights. I forget. It was something that he had some kind of thing that he used to do.
Nothing like that.
No, he's not an opera singer. He's not great again.
Good point.
Yes. No.
He's not. No. He doesn't even look like one.
No, he does not. No.
Looks like he's delivering beer to a deli. I like Harris.
He also has, single free T-shirt the Mets have ever given out.
Does he really?
T-shirt fraud is at City Field.
I didn't know. Nice.
He's got them all.
That's great. That's great. I didn't know.
They made it for Harris Allen.
That's like Sting. He has all this. Like, he's just. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if he actually technically does, but it certainly seems like it.
I don't think he likes me anymore. He used to, and he doesn't really acknowledge me much. You know. But
I didn't pick up on
it. Yeah, he's mentioned that once.
That's what happens here.
Yeah. We'll get into the latest surrounding Antonio Brown out there in Oakland with the Raiders and the fine that was levied to him and his reaction to it. We'll do that next. It's Taz and the Moose on this Thursday morning. NFL is upon us. Packers, Bears tonight. We'll get into that as well. We got picks, AFC, NFC, Super Bowl picks coming your way top of the next hour. Andrew Brandt will join us a little later on the program. You know where you're at. Sirius at XM 206. Great affiliates across the country. Taz Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
Give Taz and the Moose a call. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right, here on this Thursday morning, Taz and the Moose with you, and news out of Oakland yesterday that Antonio Brown's antics throughout the course of training camp going to cost him, Antonio Brown was fined $54,000 in fines for missing time during training camp and fined by Gruden, Mayock, and the Oakland Raiders. His response, when your own team want to hate you, but there's no stopping me now. Devil is a lie. Everyone got to pay this year, so we clear.
Okay.
Got five kids.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, I know. I saw that on the IG. I don't know about you, man. I was like, okay. Well, look, if you got in trouble, you're getting fined $54,000 from your team that you haven't even played an official down for yet or caught an official pass for in a game yet. And you're already just a massive headache with the frostbite feet to the helmet, and then more helmet, and then more helmet stuff. And now they fine you, and then Mayock sends him the letter, and then he posts the letter. Like, why would you do that? Like, that's just that you need that much attention. Just eat the fine, or just make a statement. If you want to say that crazy ass sentence you said, fine. You know, when your team hates you now, so basically now the Raiders hate him. Now the Raiders hate you because you missed a bunch of practice and a bunch of you know, stuff that you're supposed to do, and instead of dealing with your feet issue, which they tried to help you in California where at camp. Instead, you went back to your mansion in Miami, dude. I mean, please. And then you post the
accountability.
And then you post the letter. Come on, he shouldn't have posted that letter. That just. It's the same old thing. You can't be surprised. People can't be surprised by this. It's just the way the guy is.
Well, I give the Raiders credit. I mean, the one thing I look at is that they're going to try and cut the nonsense off at the knees. So yeah. He was fined nearly $14,000 for missing a walkthrough on August 22nd, fined $40,000 for missing a camp on August 18th. That's the day that Mayock came out and said, gave you the statement and talked to the media, didn't take any questions for about 2.5 minutes, you know, closed it out with, it's time for him to be either all in or all out.
Right.
He got a $40,000 suspension for that, $40,000 fine for that. And I give the Raiders credit. I
agree.
I mean,
yeah.
And there's a lot of guys that get fines in the National Football League. I mean, Plaxico Burress was fined a ton when he was a member of the Giants. When Tom Coughlin, but he was there on game days, and you didn't hear about it till it was afterward. He was catching touchdowns from Eli Manning, helping him win a Super Bowl. So it doesn't mean that this relationship, all of a sudden now has to go down a bad road or a bad path. I think there needs to be a case for Antonio Brown. We talked about it at the top of the hour with Ezekiel Elliott, Taz, in terms of accountability. He's got 50 million bones to stay on the straight and narrow. For Antonio Brown, there's got to be somebody. And I get he wants his personality out there. I get that he has a great social media following and he wants to be open and honest. But there's got to be somebody that's got to pull him aside to have a come-to-Jesus moment for Antonio Brown, where this kind of nonsense is got to come to an end. To where he's putting this stuff out there and criticizing the team that reworked your contract and gave up draft assets to get you out of Pittsburgh. You got to be a little bit happy. You got to be a little bit more respectful for the franchise that you're playing for than what you're doing right now.
This guy's not changing. This is a guy who's not going to change because he's not some young kid. You know, this guy's been around. This guy's a pro. He's been around a long time. He's been successful as hell, all success with the Steelers and all that jazz. This guy's not changed. This is the guy who this guy is. This is who he is. He just needs that attention. And this is a kid who went to
Central. Well, change when he doesn't have work.
Right. Well, he's got.
Then all of a sudden he'll be on the NFL Network weeping about
true.
The mistakes that he made
that's
in the past but and pleading for another
it'll
opportunity.
It'll be too late at that point. He's 31,
exactly.
He's 31 years old right now. I don't see him changing at 31 years old
as
a multimillionaire. You know what I mean?
No, and Taz, maybe I'm being naive in terms of there's got to be somebody to kind of pull the reins in and help him out. But then I don't want to hear the complaints when he doesn't have a job and trying to find work later on in life. Or, 3-4 years down the line when maybe he's lost a step, could still contribute, Taz, but teams don't want to deal with the headache. I don't want to hear about them because then all of a sudden it'll be a case of why doesn't he have work? It was a similar case of with Terrell Owens. Remember, Terrell Owens was dying to get back in the National Football League. No team would give him another opportunity, even though he could probably play. Why? Because of the very fact of they did not want to deal with what they perceived was going to be a headache for a guy that might be the third or fourth receiver on their depth chart, right?
Yeah.
How long did it take Dez Bryant to finally get an opportunity to play last year? Now he ended up rupturing his Achilles tendon with the New Orleans Saints, and he's not in the National Football League this year, but it took Dez Bryant, forever to get another opportunity in the NFL. Why? Because teams didn't want to deal with the headache. And the perception when you look at the game film was he was having issues getting off the line of scrimmage, and he was not getting the separation that he once was. And they said, well, why am I going to bring that guy in when I could bring in another receiver that may not have the name, might have that, not have that kind of clout, but I know is better at this stage, and I don't have to deal with the nonsense.
Right, yeah, exactly. It's totally agree. The thing is with Brown, you would think that after all of the drama and all the stuff that was public at Pittsburgh, and when the news came out he was going to be a Raider, we talked about it. We're like, well, maybe, he'll be a good choir boy, probably until they start losing games and stuff like that. I didn't think this was going to happen this early. Throughout this whole camp, throughout Hard Knocks, they're mic'd up. They got cameras on them. The whole drama with the helmet, the this, that, and the other thing. I mean, look, the feet thing, you can't blame the guy. It happened. He was in France. He's in a cold tub. He got the frostbite. I mean, that's something that just, he was, you can't get mad at the guy for that. But the helmet thing is a whole nother topic. And on Hard Knocks, I watched it pretty close. Man, Gruden and Mayock both tried to placate to this guy. Gruden putting plays in to help Antonio Brown shine on the field and be the star that he can and will be or wants to be. And this guy wasn't there for that. And you could tell the frustration from Mayock and Gruden throughout Hard Knocks, but yet they were still cool with him when he was there. His teammates seemed like they liked him, meeting Antonio Brown, but it was like he was sprinkled in and out of being at practice. And I don't understand how you're in a walkthrough and you skip a walkthrough without what is an unexcused absence from practice in Winnipeg. Okay, so because they played in Winnipeg, they played a preseason game. Now my mind escapes me who they played.
Who took on the Packers?
The Packers. Thank you.
80-yard field.
Look, I don't understand. That's right, the 80-yard field, Dan, the bad turf and all that stuff. I don't understand how you miss a walkthrough. I don't understand if you're getting...
Tassie doesn't care.
Right, well, no, I know. I mean, it's...
I agree. I know you're being...
Yeah, I'm kind of being rhetorical.
No, I know that. Like, I know. He just doesn't care.
But you're right. He feels he's too big for it.
He feels that's he's above it.
Right, right.
And Taz, you know, he's in... You know, we talk about... Jalen Hurts being the guy that's easiest to root for in college football, I think it's next to impossible to root for Antonio Brown.
Yeah, and I got him on my fantasy team, Moose.
I know you do, but I mean, I don't wish ill will upon Antonio Brown at all, but he is an impossible guy to get behind. And maybe I probably have a healthier respect now for the Steelers and for Tomlin and probably what they've dealt with and the stuff that did not get out that's now out there for everyone, for all of us to take in over the span of the last 3 or 4 months. What must have it been like for the last number of years with Antonio Brown starring as a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers? And I want to hear, there has got to be story upon story of stuff that never saw the light of day, never got oxygen, never went out to the public, of the headaches and the nonsense that the Pittsburgh Steelers had to deal with in reference to Antonio Brown. And to keep the train on the tracks, I think you probably have a little bit of a... I have a healthier respect for the job that Mike Tomlin did in Pittsburgh in dealing with this knucklehead.
No doubt about it. Tomlin's got to be sitting around behind the scenes saying, see, told you this guy's a pain in the rear. If I was an owner of a team or general manager, Antonio Brown, would I want the best receiver in the game on my team? Absolutely. But you know the baggage that comes with this guy. And he's not out there breaking the law. He's just a straight pain in the ass. I mean, that's what he is. He really is just obnoxious. He's annoying. He feels like he's above everybody on the team. And for that, it'd be tough to take him. But I wonder if people out there listening to us, Moose, if you were the owner or you were the head coach or the general manager, if you were Mike Mayock or John Gruden of the Oakland Raiders, would you want Antonio Brown on your team? 855-212-4227. Do you or would you want to deal and put up with that stuff? Because you know you're going to get great production from a great player. Would you want to deal with that? That's me. I hate to say it. I'm going to be honest. Because I love to win. If I was in that position of a general manager and stuff, I probably would want him on my team. I don't blame Mayock and Gruden for taking him.
I don't blame him either. I don't blame him either, Taz. And I think there were a handful of teams that were interested in Antonio Brown. I think there are a number of teams that would be intrigued in bringing Antonio Brown aboard because they'd feel like he's not going to act like that under our regime. He's not going to be that. But, I mean, he is what he is. But they're going to gamble on talent. Right. And it's not like Antonio Brown is getting in trouble with the law.
That's what I was saying, yeah.
So
exactly.
It's none of that. Yeah, no. It's just a case of the distractions, the nonsense, and the headache.
The entitlement.
That makes your day longer. That makes exactly. your day longer, and it makes it makes your job as an NFL head coach more difficult.
As if it's not long enough and hard enough to be in a Gruden's position or
That's
any other head coach or GM. These are tough. Look,
hard to win in the NFL.
Oh, God, yeah.
Antonio Brown makes it easier on Sundays and game days, makes it more difficult over the course of the week.
Absolutely. I'm glad he didn't go to my Bills now. I mean, remember the rumor he was going to go to the Bills?
Yeah, he didn't want Buffalo.
Well, you know why? Yeah, of course. But the reason why? The Bills aren't wide like the Gruden, you know.
Oh, no.
They're not.
McDermott. They would have fined him about $800,000.
Yeah. You're right. That's it. It just wouldn't have worked.
We got Taz and the Moose NFL picks coming your way next on this Thursday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
You know, over the years, I've seen it all. So now I'm sharing it all. Join me for unfiltered talks with the names you love on my new podcast, On Par with Maury Povich. Follow and listen to On Par wherever you get your podcasts.